Hello, and welcome to An Hour. This installation is dedicated to a very rare and hence exciting interview I'd conducted almost 2 years ago with Romanian composer power couple Iancu Dumitrescu and Ana Maria Avram. The two team forces within music and life for many years and regularly feature concerts of their music throughout the world. This is done with Dumitrescu's ensemble Hyperion, formed in the 70s, and consisting of Romanian musicians with a host of regular guests from around the world, including France, the UK, USA, Israel, and more. Dumitrescu and Avram's music, although recognizably different, can be described in quite a similar fashion, relating it to the spectral movement and with Edmund Husserl's theories of phenomenology. I had the rare occasion of meeting the two composers in a rented vacation flat in Ramat Gan, Israel, 2 years ago, when they were the hosts of the 2014 Tectonics Festival created and curated by the Israeli musician Ilan Volkov, who has, in recent years, become a champion of the duo's work. The conversation was, as always, informal, and as I think back onto that day, I can only recall the generosity exhibited by the two and their willingness to delve into topics with utmost conviction and excitement. As you will hear, the two do not only work together, but also think in unison, as can be seen in their ability to finish each other's sentences and thought processes. We are, here in Halas Radio, always very proud of our lo-fi approach, however, in this instance, I think we have managed to really outdo ourselves, as the recording and the setting were quite loud and unforgiving. We have done our utmost to clean it up for you, our listeners, but I suggest that it might be preferable to listen to this installation on headphones where available. Having said that, this was one of the easiest interviews to edit, as my input was almost scarce. The two, set off by a tangent I suggest at the onset of the interview, roam freely in thought and touch upon many subjects relating to their music and art at large. This is also the reason I have decided not to feature any of their works on the program, but these are available online as well as on many commercially released CDs. If you aren't acquainted with Dumitrescu's and Avram's music, I suggest you acquaint yourselves as soon as possible. Their music came as a personal revelation to me and truly represents yet another road not taken in the quite dogmatic 20th century. So, enough said, I ask you to sit back and enjoy this 20th installation on An Hour with Iancu Dumitrescu and Ana Maria Avram.
If we can imagine when we first learned our first steps in electronics, in electronic music, we had a studio, if we can call it, it was called a studio, an electronic music studio in the Romanian Academy of Music, which was the initiator was the generation, and Iancu precisely was the initiator of the first electronic studio in Romania during the communism in 63. Which was very avant-gardist for the country at the time. They were, I mean, of course, they didn't buy the material, but they worked the first pieces there, and they presented in concerts. They were a group of three or four Romanian young still students who did that in the 63, 64. And then I remember that I learned, let's say, I have to put brackets, electronic music there. But you know, how was it? You were recording, for example, a sound on in a generator who could make square sounds, triangular sounds, sine wave sounds, combined sounds, but not too much combined. And then you had to cut like a dressmaker,
sure,
the length. I just made so much cuttings and pastings with it was a special thing where you paste everything and you had to don't make noise, you know. It was merely a technique of.
But I know a lot of people that are working with electronics today that say that people who haven't learned electronics in that fashion, they don't really know the material. I'm not sure it's true because I didn't learn it this way. I learned the digital media.
Like you would say, the people who didn't wear the, how do you call it, in the 80s, they hair.
The fluffy hair with the
spray. No, the artificial hair.
I see.
So they don't know to
how to dress, yes, for the 80s.
This is absurd, no.
Okay.
I mean, it was a kind of a mess to do electronic music such a way, but we did our first music like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I, in Iancu's house after we were married, when I discovered the first Moog, which was a historical Moog, what a delicious thing, just to record such a number of sounds and to could change them at hand with little bit in teeny changes made a huge difference in sound. It was really great.
So let's go back for a second, because for me it's very interesting to see where it all began. I'd like to get a bit of a survey about your lives, sort of a trajectory, because for me, my personal story, of course, is that I was not aware of the music that you two create. When I first got acquainted with Hyperion in London and with my Israeli friends who were doing this, and this is how it happened. My Israeli friends invited me to a concert of music that they said would be interesting for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I, being myself, went to the concert thinking, well, this is going to be another contemporary music concert. And I went to the concert and I was completely amazed by what I heard, because I heard, first of all, music that was completely different.
That's true.
And second, music that is actually combined with the performance, is created in collaboration with the ensembles, is created in collaboration between composers, which is something, again,
yes,
that you don't see that often or at all in the world. And for me, it's very interesting to hear how this came about. Was this always the musical style, Janko, that you had started working with? Or did you start as a traditional, quote-unquote, composer who writes scores with notes?
Yes, the beginning was like this. It was very traditional. But I combined in this time, if I remember, I combined composition, very small composition, or only intention to compose, with journalists, with, we can say, philosophy of music and we can say also politics to sustain modern music.
He wants to say cultural politics. He was a journalist in the time, since he's very, very...
Very young, yes. I was
a
student.
Yeah.
I studied six years in the Conservatory High School of Music, Conservatory Academy of Music. High level, the maximum level of education in Bucharest. But in the second year, I was selected by somebody, but by a group. But finally, a unique person, somebody very sympathetic and very generous with me, and he prepared me 2 months or 3 months to write, only to say the truth, the truthness of music. He was not a musician, he has not contacted music, but because somebody recommended me, perhaps like this, if I remember the truth.
Who was this person? What was his name?
He was a journalist.
Journalist.
Doesn't matter.
It's very complicated. He was against the system, against communism, we can say. But not like this directly.
He was not a
dissident. But he was not presented to me like dissident. Yes, like some professional, he was a journalist. But after, I don't remember, after 2 months, he say me, do you know what I am here in my pocket here? I have le dossier de Madame Ceausescu.
I have the file.
Yeah.
It's only, I say only to imagine what complex it was, practically the life in Romania. He was writer, official journalist and so on, writer, he writes book and so on.
So he had incriminating information about Madame,
yes,
Ceausescu.
Yes.
Evidently.
He could have been
perhaps
in a lot of trouble.
Like
us.
Where?
It depends. I mean, yes, things were so duplicitary, so complex, so contradictory. I mean, people were contradictory. People were. It's a situation with people who didn't live this period. They really can't understand. They think things were only white or only black, but it's so complicated.
What year are we talking about?
about, we were just talking, what the years?
The
all, year. The, all the communist
no,
first
no, but
period.
Specifically the story
of
the
63, 62, 64.
Early
60s. Say,
yeah.
Early year, evidently. And he obliged me to say only the truth. And finally, after in the last moment, this it was the first moment, yes, I don't need somebody, a new, absolutely normal journalist, normal for community, communist community and so on. I don't need this. If you accept this condition, it's perfect. But after the third month, in the last discussion, he proposed me something. Do you know, I have a strange relationship with a big musician. It's truly extraordinary, it's marvelous. There are 2 months, I hear, I was together with him. Please write article about it. It's truly, it's published.
He asked you to write a written
work. Yes, written work, yes.
Chronicle of his concert.
But the discussion was so amicable, we can say, so in friendship. Do you understand? After 2 days or I refused. I refused to write because he was so modest. In he gave me some comparison with other.
He was a nice guy. The violinist was a nice guy, very cultivated person, but he was unable to play the violin properly.
So what was so interesting about
him? Some, excuse me?
What was so interesting that he wanted you to write the article?
No, it was a test.
It was a test.
It was after 2 days, it was a test, yes.
A test
said,
what?
Because
and
he
I refused because, no. Excuse me, no, this is not possible. But it was a truthness, do you understand? It was a dialogue like you, between you and me in this moment. If you want something from me, I can refuse because you are here. We are here, and
it's difficult.
Finally, after 2 or 3 days, I realized that it was a test of sincerity. Eh?
Sincerity.
And of.
My English is very, very bad, poor, and so on.
And afterwards?
He said, okay, this is what I wanted. I wanted to get. I'm sorry, I can't write this article because if I write it, I have to say that he's an idiot.
After,
if you want me to say the truthness is he's not a violin player, so let. If you want, if not, bye.
After some months, he was arrested because it was difficult to say. It was something, a connection with somebody, but all this connection was a false connection between him and another friend of
Yanko, but can
somebody.
You speak also?
No, he's interesting. He is interested to know this complex, truly complex and impossible to know what it was in fact. I don't know if what I say you is the truth. Yes, is the life has mystery in itself. But he was arrested after this,
But anyway, he made a journalist from Yanko.
In 88, perhaps, I had the courage to contact somebody in Paris, somebody legendary journalist.
A dissident from Fribourg.
Journalist in Free Europe. Free Europe, it's American. At the end of our discussion, he say me the name of this. It's my friend. He refused to come. He was or he was
rejected.
Rejected or he discovered a solution to be out of the country. Yes,
and he was not living in Romania anymore.
Yes, I had not time or I don't know what. 10 years, we can say I was not in contact with him. I don't know also his address. I don't know in this moment if he's in life.
Probably not.
Somebody. So in any case, what is sure, he provoked me to be not clear against communism or something like this, but to write in any case the truth. All the time with this, it was like a moral citizenship for me, do you understand? Unbelievable. It was, we can say, my master, only this very small point.
And this translated immediately into music for you as well.
Evidently, but I was a very young composer. I was in the second year of
studies of composition.
And what kind of music were you writing then? Or rather, what kind of music were you dreaming of writing as a student? What was your inspiration in contemporary music?
It was very old music, dodecaphonic music, we can say. It was Weber and Schoenberg and so on. It was the idea.
It was the music of
ideal
the,
for
those
me.
Years, actually.
So the 60s?
Yes.
The 60s, yes.
But the 60s, so were we speaking of Polish music at the time, or
also
Ligeti, or Darmstadt?
We was very, what can I say, isolated in this period. Very, very
not comparable with Polish or Romania was really, really isolated culturally. And what there were intelligent people who were able to have their own information, to have books and so on, but not in schools. I mean, it was not the situation in the academy. You could be informed eventually after or by special occult channels, but not in the academy. Everything was straight, everything was politically correctness, Stalinist and so on. And I remember, because I'm 7 years younger than Janku, and when I was to the library of the conservatory, where you could ask for tapes to listen, for books and so on, they were full of small, you should put your small ticket where you ask what they don't have and they should have, so to make acquisition of new scores, new recordings and so on. And it was full of the one, it was his writing, I remembered it after, I mean, I realized it was his writing, asking always for Boulez, for Stockhausen, for Ligeti, for Nono, only him, like a fool.
And did they bring it? Did they bring this music?
No.
Western music.
I was accused, this child, this student, here
of small tickets. I'm sold small tickets.
Many times I was accused. Many times I come to this library to hear
decadent music.
No, Stravinsky, for example.
But Stravinsky wasn't decadent music
for them it was. My God.
And accused. I was déclassed.
Menaced, first of all.
Yes.
Considered
not a good student.
By your teachers?
Yes.
By my teachers, yes.
Some of his teachers, not by all, but the one who were, ideologically important and so on.
So what was modernism?
Doesn't it?
For your
modernism,
teachers?
It was
it depends.
Or something like that. Today Shostakovich is recuperated by humanity, yes, mm-hmm. But this time it was a Stalinist music, and is in fact, yes.
Actually, the means are completely Stalinist, you cannot say something else. You can say about the tragedy of his life, the tragic sense, which is, you can feel it, but the means, I'm sorry, nobody can ever learn something new from Shostakovich music. It's completely the most retrograde thing that you can, as musical means, I mean, as technique and so on.
But like expression,
of course,
truly,
it's
very sad music, it's very...
you can imagine if you really go into what was life into communism, I mean, and what was life into Soviet unions, what was fear, what was depression, what was
well, that
humiliation
depends. Yes,
also.
It's, I am very orgullous with this. It was possible in the time of communism not only to compose something in this thing, we can say, that depends of the, what I think, but to write. I sustained in a very depressive situation, a general situation, I sustained young in this time, it was a young generation, our generation of our professors.
Teachers. There were two categories of teachers during the communism, and of course two generations also. I had less the opportunity to meet the category of the Stalinist, people who were made without studies, who were only ideological, who actually they didn't know anything about music, actually. They were just, how can I say, phantoms, but politically correct. And the other who, little by little, they could infiltrate themselves in this world, and there were a generation of good composers, of composers who the first, after George Ionescu, were the one who really were in the same, how can I say, breathing with Europe and so on. So they were not ideologic, they didn't make Stalinist music, they made a music which was first time original, visionary and modern. So at the same
serious,
level
and
absolutely serious.
Yeah. Existential.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
At the level of dignity.
Existential, yes. Something where the subject is into the music, in the,
unfortunately, because they lived
each person the same with the same aesthetic. For example, four perhaps it was the more interesting in comparison with other. We can say also some names: Stefan Niculescu,
Anatol
Vieru.
Tiberio
Olach, Stroje,
and Miriam Marbeau,
Miriam
Marbeau,
your professor, your teacher.
He was not such an interesting composer, but he made few interesting.
But in the same time, in the same family, yes.
So there were persons who were really made a proper language, which was their own. In the same step and in the same breeze with the actuality of the music of the West, and who were our composition teacher, and they really teach us something, and they were our models. They took their strengths and so on in the visionary part of Enescu's music, which was
it's a complicated
situation. He was so much connected with the players, with classical music, with old music. He had practically no connection with the contemporary composer of his time, but with the players, and this was not good for his composition. And he made a music which combines a lot of invention, of visionary things, of principles which were developed partially later by the spectral music. But he combined that with old-fashioned things, which old forms, which all the, how can I say, patterns of music from France, from Germany, because all this music, like a big violinist, he was a great violinist, and they were playing in his head, of course, it's impossible, you have to choose. You cannot play Brahms today and then go and compose Stockhausen music, you know. It's impossible, you cannot be, or you're schizophrenic, otherwise.
So I'm very interested in what you say, because when I listened to your music, not only yesterday, but when I got acquainted with it in London, my feeling was that there's two separate things happening. The first thing is that your music, suddenly both of your musics are suddenly very interesting to young people, to people who are interested in improvisation,
exactly.
Well, people who are interested in experimental music and not necessarily classical music. Many people know that you have a collaboration with musicians that come from different worlds, most famously probably Stephen O'Malley, who works with you for several years already. On the other hand, listening as a musician, as a composer, as somebody who knows a bit about the 20th century, there seems to be a connection to music of the 60s. To specifically avant-garde of the 60s, the sounds and the scores and the results seem to take the 60s and continue, as it were, from where they stopped, to free the spectrum, to make it a bit more interesting timbrally. Do you feel this is true, or do you feel more connected
to... Very much true. It's a very good analyze you made. It's true. I mean, maybe not the 60s, you can put also the 70s, but anyway, this culture, which in a moment it stops, I mean, it stopped evaluating, it's true. And if we see the old composers, I mean, the composers who really made an avant-garde music and an experimental music, they stopped or they get back. This is true. But you know, this evolution happened little by little. It was not from the beginning. For him, he had some visionary syphilis, mental syphilis, we can say that. Even from his first composition when he was a student, and he composed, for example, music for clarinet, which was structuralist and combinatory music, very good music, it can be played also today. But in the middle of this structuralist thing, it's composed in 60 metamorphose for clarinet.
65.
He was still a student. He make a practical spectral music part, which is with a long, long sound, and with just a bap. We can maybe send you a recording of that. You could maybe use it. So really things which were very not in time and were very much before the time. I mean, they were visionary.
Yeah, visionary.
Yes.
In your for instance, program notes. This is, of course, program notes are always a tricky thing, but I specifically go there because of that. You're always connected, both of you, to a spectral movement.
Yes.
And it's not entirely clear to me always.
Yeah, because you think about spectral music only in the...
better than me, because...
you think about spectral music in terms...
Peut-être on peut parler en français après, hein?
No, it doesn't work.
No.
So that because you think of spectral music in terms of the French school, but French school was neither the first nor the only spectral music school. So we have to define the terms first of all. What is spectral music, and why you don't feel that our music is spectral? I mean, actually, because you think in terms of French school. What's happened with French school? With a technical machines and so on. Of course, they had always, from Debussy and even before, they had a very much attached to timbre, to color.
Mm-hmm.
It's a something from the collective and unconsciousness.
Yeah.
You can say that it's a national quality, in a way. As they are not so polyphonic, I mean, they maybe are not so good for polyphony, but they are very good for color. But so they say now, because we love timbres, let's analyze timbre. Okay, they analyze timbre with a technical material they had in the 80s, end of the 70s, beginning of the 80s. And then they said, okay, so I have to, they practically reorchestrate, if I can say it's very rudely and it's very generally said, but they reorchestrate those timbres, those image of the timbre they discovered with the techniques, with different instruments, but they play those instruments with real sounds. But so actually, what is that? It's an image of the timbre with instruments who are playing not the partial sounds, but real sounds. I mean, not harmonic sounds. And then the structure, which tries to imagine the formants and the fashion that the sounds evolves in time. They made from that a structure, because they were not able to get rid of what was a structuralist thinking
approach.
So they practically made the structuralist music with real sounds, orchestrating and putting in space in another dimension, in another art, in another. It's like if you put a drawing into music, let's say.
Very similar with Pierre Boulez, for example.
Actually, the difference is not so big. If you look today at the difference of 20 or 30 years of what they did at the time, you don't say why it's spectral music, what that is, because this is not spectral music.
Because the way it's composed, and this is where for me the big distance between the music that you two write and the spectral movement is that the spectral movement is still very
stocked into structuralism.
With the details.
Oh, the details are very important. But
the details are important, but it's not free music.
Look,
so
the problem is like that. They didn't discover and they didn't understand that the main problem of this of the spectrum, it's evolution in time, which is transformational. They don't want music which is transformational. What is transformational? The details of the music, they are coming one, they are in an evolution, they are full of details, but not details which are punctualist. Ils deviennent depuis it's like a constatation one from a moment to another, so it's a continuous transformation. They couldn't do that continuous transformation because they only saw it like a drawing in a picture, so it's a discrete discrete in like opposite to continuously.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why and principally what we do, we really work with spectral sound, I mean with multiphonics, with beatings, with a phenomenon which are considered transitory phenomenons, so which are other parts of the sound, really partial sounds, really sounds which contains the full spectrum. They are not real sounds like in Beethoven music, in classical music, in Boulez music, and in French spectral music. They are really spectral sound, I mean sound which use extended techniques, but not to use extended techniques, because for example Lachenmann, for example, use also extended techniques, but not for doing spectral music, but a very structuralist and pointillist music.
Mm-hmm.
So using extended techniques for discovering this relationship between noise and sound, which are connected. You cannot have a sound, a timbre, without having some noise in it. So all those formants, all those inspiring things which exist in all timbre, in all sound, they are emphasized in a real way, I mean using real spectral techniques.
Just a moment, is perhaps the
overtones
moment to discuss something very fundamental. Do you understand is necessarily the first step of thinking is necessary to return the first idea. What is music, in fact? And I had this possibility to contact Sergio Celibieri. It's a great, it's a monster of conducting. And
a sacred monster. He's died. He's dead.
He wasn't very interested in contemporary music, though.
Not interested.
Not in the last period. He conducted a lot of contemporary music when he was in Sweden, at the radios Rundfunk Sweden.
It was
so
obliged
he,
because
yes.
he...
And he did it marvelously, I mean, masterfully. He did a lot of music, but he was not, how can I say, he was not convinced at all by this elucubration of the new music of his time, of the just this speculation, not for music, but just for speculation, which was a reality of that time, and the way that music lost a lot of his lovers and the people who were absolutely disappointed by this way of doing music without any feeling, any really something which
deep
only with
deep
ideas.
Sense of existence and so on. Music is necessary. Is something necessary, but I return to this question. Yes, fundamentally, what is music? And I remember this moment is a history for me. Celibidache said, "Music doesn't exist." It was for me something. He's absolutely idiot.
It's like a
corn. Music doesn't exist.
It's like a corn in Zen, yeah.
After some time, because I love him and he loved me, he helped me to to have to be out of my country, yes, because he was a great personality. He invited me two times to study, and the Romanian police give me the visa for to have, because they wanted to have some connection with some very great personality, Romanian personality in the world. It was something political. It was my destiny, in fact, but at the limit of to be in prison than to be free. It's necessary also to say I was not in prison. I was in prison together with all people, all other people. Yes,
but what did he mean?
This problem, I don't understand. The music doesn't exist. Perhaps I don't know. But after 2 or 3 or 5 years, I discovered what he said. In the same time, he said me and to a group of young conductors or musicians. Because you can have music in your hand.
No.
Music exists all the time. No, it's something, it's a beginning, it's a development, is a finish. Music is easy in the score? No. No. Where it's easy in the CD? No. It's in the memory? No. What is it? Music doesn't exist. Music. I repeat this. With this perspective, I discovered music is something possible to do only here and now. And the music, also it is Bach, or also it is Beethoven, or Brahms, or Schoenberg, or Mahler. It's valuable only for this night. It's necessary to begin, and it's valuable, and is all the time is different. All the time, today
is music,
different than tomorrow.
If it is music, because of you can be a chief and do always or almost always the same thing every time you play.
But
it's
mechanically.
This is not music. There is no. A second of music in this approach.
And this is the reason that you've decided to fashion your music in the way that it is fashioned? That there is
we
a
can
collaboration
say,
of sorts?
Yes, I discovered what is necessary for this material, the sound material, to be attractive, to be new, to be in this condition of open mind, and so on and so on and so on, to be real only today, to be real only tomorrow, only after tomorrow, and so on and so on, to exist only in a unique form. This doesn't exist for this Celibidache, and we can say also me, Celibidache refused recordings, mm-hmm. because it's like a photography. Your photography is necessary in your passport. It's necessary, absolutely. And also, when you went to see what you are, you use a mirror or something like this, for to see if you are conform or not. It's with pleasure or not. It was not truly pleasure. Huh? This vision is the same problem with music. Born after is necessary for composition, is absolutely necessary, because you need a document. Do you understand? You can after analyze what it was. It was good. It was not good. Where it was not so good. For what it was not so good. Because me, like conductor, because my bassonist, it was something like this. What condition, what proportion between electronic music and natural sounds, and so on and so on, is necessary to be very passionate, and in the same time to to have strong nerves to work.
Actually, on the contrary, with Celibidache, we do a lot of CDs.
Mm-hmm.
We
have and you record your concerts quite...
Yes, that's because, you know, the problem of contemporary music, of new music, is that you not so often play the same piece two times, three times. So there are so bad conditions for that it's... It's the only possibility to have really a remembering, understand something, a possibility of reiterate the music only on CDs. And also the problem is you cannot touch all the public or the audience you would love to have. If you have a concert in Berlin or in Tel Aviv, you cannot ask people to come from Norway or so. Sometimes they come. I mean, it happens for us to have people coming from Brazil or from, I don't know, to our festival. Even from many years already, from the
Japan.
Time we were doing a festival in Bucharest, dedicated to all digital arts, especially music. But digital arts and in connection with the Romanian Broadcasting Corporation, we had something like 20 people, 30 people who came from abroad to see the festival.